All right, hi there. I'm going to introduce you to a new segment on Pukan's little blog called Drunken Movie Reviews. Now, the whole premise of this is to watch a movie while I'm sober, a movie I've never seen before, and then when I'm drunk, then try to give a review of the movie that I've only seen once. Now, for the first episode in this segment is going to be the Eddie Murphy comedy, I put that in quotations, A Thousand Words. Now, this movie came out in theaters in March of 2012, despite having been filmed in 2008. It just sat completed on a shelf in some vault in the Hollywood studio for some reason for 4 years, and then just finally got released. And honestly, despite what you may have heard about this movie, I don't understand why. But I can kind of maybe see it. And here's the thing. So Eddie Murphy was like a god of the 1980s. When he was on Saturday Night Live from like 1980 to 1984, he was just kind of unbelievably ridiculous. He's just one of those. You could see him like, he was young, but he was a total like star in the making. And then, which led to his appearances in, what's it called? Eddie Murphy's Raw in 1987 is one of the funniest, like, fucking stand-ups ever. It's just so fucking good. If you haven't seen Raw, go see Raw. But what was the other one? Like, oh, Delirious. Shit, Delirious is before that. Delirious was in 1983. Delirious and Raw, just unbelievably fucking hilarious. And that's Eddie Murphy just at his best. All right, so then we're in early 80s. We got 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop. Iconic role as Detective Axel Foley. Dude, everybody knows Beverly Hills Cop. Just unbelievably good movie as far as everything goes. Follows it up with Beverly Hills Cop 2. And then Coming to America. I don't know if you've ever seen Coming to America with Arsenio Hall. Fantastic fucking movie, man. It was really good. Then another 48 Hours, you got Boomerang. And he's moving to the 90s. He goes Beverly Hills Cop 3. And then the kind of bomb kind of drops in 1995. And that's when he made Vampire in Brooklyn. And that's just kind of when it starts to kind of go downhill. But in 96, kind of redeems himself with The Nutty Professor. And I fucking love The Nutty Professor. But unfortunately for him, that was like the start of the let's wear a fat suit or a woman's fat suit. And I'll play seven different characters. And that just kind of would become a staple for later in his career. Unfortunately. So then it leads to things like Life and Bowfinger and Nutty Professor 2. And then when we hit 2000, that's when the shit just like really hits the fan with Eddie Murphy. All right, so I'll be honest here. Shrek and Shrek 2 and Shrek 3 and Shrek 4 and Shrek 9 or whatever the fuck how many Shreks they made, Eddie Murphy was pretty fucking good as Donkey. Like, he's just kind of an ass. And Donkey's kind of a smart ass. Eddie Murphy is too. Just all the time, like, Shrek, what we doing? Where we going, man? Come on, tell me what's going on. Like, that's kind of more Bernie Mac than Eddie Murphy, but I'm not terribly good at impressions. But, all right. So Shrek's pretty fucking good, but that's just voice work. But you consider here, starting in, like, 1998, you have, like, Dr. Doolittle. 2001, Dr. Doolittle 2. And you have Showtime, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, I Spy. 2003 brings you Daddy Daycare. 2003 also brings you The Haunted Mansion. Ugh. 2007 brings you Norbit. 2008, Meet Dave. kind of comes back a little bit in Tower Heist in 2011, with Ben Stiller and like Matthew Broderick. I didn't really think that movie was very funny, personally. And so then it leads to this, A Thousand Words was released around 2008, same time he was doing like Shrek the Third and Meet Dave and shit like that. And here's the thing. All right, you consider all those like 1990s Eddie Murphy like quote unquote comedies, like they're not really funny. So people expecting A Thousand Words to be a comedy probably were disappointed because it's not a very funny movie. But the thing is, do that movie works as like a drama, and it kind of works as just a very story filled with heart and just a really good meaning behind it. And I went into this movie, and here's my thing, man. I watch a lot of movies, probably more than the average person. Actually, probably way more than the average person. Dude, I watch a lot of movies. I probably watch like at least one movie a night. That's like 7 a week. probably sometimes even more than that. So I have like Netflix, and I give pretty much every movie a chance. I was like, all right, well, I'll check it out. And if it sucks, then it's like, all right, well, I watched it, it sucks. If it's good, then I'm like, hey, man, cool. So I kind of went into this movie with kind of low expectations because, considering, as I just read off, Eddie Murphy's career over the last 20 years, with the exception of Shrek and The Nutty Professor, really hasn't been that good. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll check it out. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I really ended up liking this movie. I don't know if it's just kind of where I am in my life right now, and with all this kind of depressing shit I've been through, and this movie just kind of really spoke to me, and it kind of hit me where it hurts. I'm not talking about like the nutsack, I'm talking about the heart. And basically, dude, here's the movie. So Eddie Murphy's like this loud ass motherfucker, like talks a lot and just kind of lies all the time, and just he's just kind of a spin artist. And what he is, he's like a publicist or like an agent for like a book company. And when people like write books, they need to like get somebody to represent them, to pitch them to the book company, I guess. Dude, I don't know how that shit works, but like he's like he goes like someone has a book and he goes and like finds them, and then he sells their book to his company and gets that shit published. So his job is basically to kind of like you read the script or read like the book, I guess, and just be like, hey man, this is a good book, to his company, and sells it to like Random House or Simon and Schuster or like these different publishing companies to make a profit. And the whole point is that Eddie Murphy is such a great like talker and such a great like spin artist that he can take crap and make it sound amazing to sell it. And so there's this kind of like foreign dude. he's probably from the Middle East. I think this guy's like played like a terrorist in like other movies. That's where I recognize him from. I was like, this actor. I think he was in I know he was in Live Free or Die Hard, but he didn't play a terrorist in that movie. Maybe just because he's Middle East, I'm like saying he's a terrorist. And now looking over his like IMDb, I don't think he ever played a terrorist. So I think that's just me just labeling every Middle Eastern person as a terrorist. So I apologize to Cliff Curtis. He was born in New Zealand, so he's not even from the Middle East. But okay, so he's this like religious kind of leader dude, and he writes this book about like having peace with yourself and all kinds of shit, just like this new age kind of religion hooey. And so Eddie Murphy's like, oh shit, this guy's popular, so I gotta, sell this guy's book. So this guy's book ends up being like 4 pages long. 5 pages long, some shit like that. It's a short ass book. And so we have a problem because now he's trying to sell this shit that's like really hard to sell. And so when he's talking to this guy, like this religious leader is just kind of like, what I can tell, like your life is what the fuck are you doing? Stop climbing on the couch, you asshole, my cat. So this religious leader is just like, I can tell, like your life. You're talking, stop it, you asshole. I could tell, like, you're saying things, but you're talking so much that your words don't hold any meaning. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. And it's just kind of like you could talk and use all these big words and use all these descriptive adjectives and everything, but like in the end, you don't end up saying something because it's all just garbage filler. And he's just spinning so much that like the true meaning of the words have been lost. And so something happens where Eddie Murphy gets cursed and this tree grows in his backyard. And this tree has a bunch of leaves on it, like most trees do. And what happens is that every time Eddie Murphy says a word, a leaf falls off this tree. And the point being is that every word you say in life is important and don't waste them. But the thing is, when all these leaves fall off the tree, he's gonna die. So he's talking, he's going nuts, and all these tree leaves are falling, and he's just like, yeah, that's bullshit, this doesn't mean nothing, like, I don't believe in this. And by the time the tree gets down to about 1,000 leaves, he starts believing in the fact that this tree represents his life, those leaves represent his words, and it really only has like 1,000 words left to go until he dies. And so the problem is, at his company, he's used to talking a lot and just kind of using his words to progress his career. And his relationship with his wife and his son is kind of strained. And he kind of talks to her and his son, but doesn't really mean anything he says. He just kind of bullshits all the time. That's what the thing is. Eddie Murphy just kind of bullshits this whole movie up until this point. So once he figures out that all of his words mean something, he's just like, oh shit, I gotta like save him. And so in comes did his like assistant, played fantastically by Clark Duke. I don't know if you've ever seen Clark Duke before, but like he was in Hot Tub Time Machine. He was John Cusack's like nephew, like the kid with the glasses. And I first knew him from like this show on ABC Family, Greek. it was about like fraternities and sororities in college, and he was like the main character's like college roommate. He was like this religious nut. But Clark Duke is fantastic in this in everything, but also in this movie. And he's up his assistant, and he ends up like having to basically talk for Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy like can't he can't every time he talks, like a leaf falls off the tree. If he writes something down, a leaf falls off the tree. If he texts like a word, it falls off the tree. So he can draw pictures and he can like make sounds. He goes, mm-hmm, nah. So like there's so like the middle part of the movie, like 45 minutes, where Eddie Murphy's barely speaking and just going like ha ha ma and making motions and everything, like holding up fingers and playing charades and shit. And it's actually quite funny. I'm not gonna lie, like it's some really good stuff. Just him just like trying to figure out like what he can and cannot do, and just trying to express himself through his face and through his actions and pictures and hands and everything, just kind of really turning to nonverbal communication to kind of get his point across. And of course, being the talker that he has been his entire life, it doesn't really work out well for him, because he's just so used to talking. All right. So then here gets to the bottom line. He basically gets fired from his job because he can't get his point across. Whatever little friends he had left in the world aren't his friends anymore because he won't talk to them. People that, co-workers or anything like that, who've just kind of looked to him for, I guess, the answers, they don't believe him anymore because he can't talk to them. His wife leaves him because they're having problems with their marriage and he won't talk to her. She's like, you don't love me. You won't even tell me how much you care about me and shit like that. And his wife is like Kerry Washington. I don't know if you've ever seen this chick, but like, she is just fucking fine as hell, dude. So it's like, dude, if I only had like 12 words left to say, I'd probably waste them all on her. I'd be like, damn, bitch, you stupid fine. I want to make love to you. And that's my 12 words. And I'd die after that. But hopefully I wouldn't die till like the 13th word. I'd use those 12 words. And then I'd make love to Kerry Washington. And then after everything was done, like post-coitus, after everything was done, she'd be like, how is that? And I'd be like, damn. And then that'd be like my 13th word or whatever. So maybe, okay, I'd have to have 13 words left, because I'd use those 12 and I'd have one leaf left on the tree. And she'd be like, how is that? I'd be like, damn. And that last leaf falls off the tree and I'd die. But hey, man, dude, if I die after having sex with Kerry Washington, then I'd probably be all right. I'd consider that a pretty good life. But basically, dude, his wife doesn't like him anymore, leaves him, whatever. And there's all the subplots about him going to Starbucks. And the Starbucks guy, the barista, I think they call him, is played by the wonderful Jack McBrayer. I think he's on like 30 Rock and he's in like Sarah Marshall and stuff. He's fantastic. And he has some really funny scenes in this flick. But basically the movie kind of comes down to the overall message, and then it's just kind of like, what you say is really not important if you don't mean what you're saying. Like, the ideas and the truth behind your, like, statements just has to be real. Like, there's no time in life for bullshitting. Like, words hold incredible meaning, but only if you truly believe in the things you're saying. So by the end of the movie, while there's barely a couple leaves left on the tree, every word he says holds such weight, because he's looking out at this tree seeing, I've only got 20 leaves left on this tree, I better make my words count. And so there's this other subplot about his mother in a nursing home who has Alzheimer's, who thinks that he is her husband, who had left the family, and he, you know, grew up without a dad and everything like that. And then it makes more sense if you see the movie, but basically, like, I don't know, like, so he blames his dad for leaving his, you know, his family and him having to spend all this, you know, to raise his, to be like his mom's rock, I guess, as the family grew and everything. So it's one of those things, like, this movie has more heart than I thought it would. Like I said, it doesn't work as a comedy because I didn't really laugh much throughout this movie, but it hit me like so hard, like right in the heart. And it kind of stresses that the most important thing in life is family. Because if you don't have your family, if you don't have the people to love and the people that love you back, then it's really, life is not really worth living. If you don't have family. And to me, like, my family is the most important thing to me in the world. I'll spend every waking minute of every day thinking about them and loving them and spending time with them. And I'll disregard so many things in my life to take care of my family and to be with my family. And so by the end of this movie, as he's using his last words before he dies, to tell his wife, like, how much he loves him, and to tell his son that I'm sorry that I'm not going to be around to see you grow up, and I wish I could be here to take care of you, and to tell his mother that even though you don't know who I am because of your Alzheimer's, that I'll still show up every day of the week to come visit you. Because even though you don't know me, I know you, and that's what's important. The fact that I know that I'm helping you out in some way. So, it's an incredible message of a movie, and I really don't understand any of the hate that people get from this. Like I said, if people go in thinking it's like an Eddie Murphy comedy, then they're sorely confused. They're going to be sorely disappointed, because it's not. It's more of a movie with like a nice heartfelt message that everyone should really take home with them. You got to remember that your family, they are what shaped you. They are what have created you into the person that you are today. And you really should take every moment of every day to give thanks to them and just kind of let them know how much you love and care for them. And so, I really liked this movie. It's really weird because I didn't expect to. I really, really didn't expect to like this movie because the trailers for the movie, everything I've seen about this movie going in, I really didn't think this was going to be a good movie. And it just turned out being one of the better movies that I've seen all year. And like I said, maybe it's just because of the things I've been through in my recent life. And maybe it's just because of the place I am in my life right now. But if you have any, like, heart, if you care about the people in your family, if you really are kind of looking for a movie that kind of will touch you, not in the inappropriate way, but like I said, in the heart, then I suggest that maybe you check out 1,000 Words. You'll be surprised, really. So that is a drunken movie reviews. My name is Scott Reck, and go out there and watch some movies, man, and let me know what you think. So take care of yourselves, and here's to you, Hollywood.